Come on, somebody help me give God praise for all the good things that God has done in this wonderful church. Come on, bless the Lord, would you? Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. What an amazing journey God has brought us on together. And today is a great day to recognize that this is a new season, that God is far from done with our church. He has many new things. Even though we could stand here all day and just talk about the blessings of God, the victories of God, just so many good things that God has done in our church, today is not about the past. Today is about the future. Today is about God, His heart, and His will for us and for you and for your family. Now, you may be asking yourself today, so far, especially if you're here for the first time, what kind of church is this anyway? You know, the mayor asked me earlier, did you have everybody sign a waiver before they jumped off that cross? I'm like, I don't remember us doing that. So everything was by faith. Wasn't that pretty fun? Wasn't that awesome? Now, if you missed the hidden message in that, that's dive in, just join in, don't wait, don't be afraid, and be part of what God is doing. Amen? You know, one of the things that tells a lot about a church is a church sign, right? How many enjoy driving down the road and looking at church signs? There have been some, a church sign will tell you a lot about a church. I found a few that are what I would call pretty interesting. Watch this. Here's some of these church signs. Prayer, the only call the government can't hear. I think that's the George Orwell Church of God there, okay? Chuck Norris loves Oasis Church, and how many know if Chuck Norris loves your church, who can resist? Right? Somebody needs to call Chuck Norris and get us an endorsement. Scumbags, welcome. Hold on. Let's slow down, guys. All right, here we go. Bluegrass worship with the dismembered Tennesseans. I mean, I know some things are coming apart at that church. All right, here we go. Here's the next one there. Independent, old-time, hellfire, brimstone, King James, preach it. That church put the fun back in fundamental. How many know what I'm talking about? All right, here's the next one here. Whoever is praying for the snow, please stop. This was an actual church in Lafayette, Indiana last fall. Right, that was there. Next one there. Clifton Baptist Church, church parking only. Violators will be baptized. You have been warned. Okay. This one's be called the most redneck church sign. Get her done for God. Yeehaw. This is one of my favorites right here. Park your keister here this Easter. They're a poet and they don't know it, all right? Anybody want a peanut? All right. This is the sign that would be most likely to get the sign guy slapped by his mom. She ain't heavy, she's my mother. All right, I think we got a couple more here. And this probably is the most classic church sign of all time. What is missing from CHCH? Anybody know the answer? You are. So we are glad that our new church sign tells a lot about us. Now, let me give you a little bit of history for us. My wife and I came to pastor this church about 17 years ago. We were, wait for it, 27 years old. Yeah. So we're not 27 anymore. But over the past 17 years, God has done some pretty great things. We have had multiple building projects. Together, God has enabled us to give millions of dollars away to missionaries and projects to build churches, orphanages around the world and ministry here in our own community. And just a little bit of stepping back in time for just a moment. When we first came, one of the things that we did is we spent a lot of time praying. Now, there are only 26 people here on our first day. How many know you spent a lot of time praying, first of all, that people would come? And early on, I was praying. I said, God, would you give me a game plan for this church? Give me a vision. Give me a strategy for what you want Grace Assembly of God to accomplish. Now, I've grown up in the church. I've gone to church literally my whole life. And so I know that church is much more than just having good services. I was saying, God, give us a plan, give us a strategy, and give us a vision. And something pretty spectacular happened that day because God gave me something that it was one of those times when I couldn't write it down fast enough. God was speaking to me that clearly. And what God gave to me on that day was seven visions or seven elements of a vision of our church, a game plan really of how the church should be organized and planned and strategized, what our strategies are, what our goals are, what our plans are. And so over the next three Sundays, I want to tell you what God told me on that day. And I believe that if we follow this game plan, we will be the church you've always wanted. The church that you need and the church that you want. If we follow God's plan for our church. How many are with me so far? You've got some notes that you can follow along here this morning, because the very first thing that God spoke to me about for our church and what he wanted us to be, what he wanted us to do, was that we would be a house of prayer. So the first thing is, the church you've always wanted is a church that prays. How many would agree with that? The church that you've always wanted is a church that prays. Now our vision statement reads like this: the primary activity of the church is to love God and to minister to him through worship, prayer, fasting, and intercession. This is reflected in the schedule, the services, the calendar, and the emphasis of the church. Sum it up, the goal of our church is that our primary activity is ministry to God. Now you say, Pastor, why is this so important? Why is this the very first thing that God gave you? Well, because Jesus said in Matthew chapter 21, verse 13, my house will be called a house of what? My house will be called a house of prayer. Notice he did not say, my house will be called a house of great music, or my house will be a house of great activities, or even a house of social justice. Right? He says, my house will be a house of prayer to all nations, all peoples, everyone welcome, right? So a church should be a church that prays. The church that you've always wanted is a church that prioritizes prayer, teaches people how to pray, and we actually pray. Now, I'm going to give you a little hint right now. We're going to do this in just a few minutes. We're going to pray together, right? So the most common thing that should happen in a church is prayer. Now, why is prayer such a big deal? Why is praying such a big deal? Well, I like to illustrate it by something that happened to my wife and I a few years ago. A few years ago, it was December, it was cold outside, and my wife and I did one of my favorite things to do. We went to the Greenwood Park Mall on a Friday afternoon. And it was one of those things that was my day off. And so we're getting ready to go pick up our boys up from school. And we're driving away from the mall, and we're driving our minivan. And I feel this tug, this little hesitation. Now, I'll let you in on a secret. I've felt that before. Because I look down at my gas gauge and I realize we're on empty. And I knew that hesitation meant we didn't have long. Now, I'm going ahead and confessing to you, the reason I knew we didn't have long is because we've been here before, okay? I know that's never happened to you. You've never ran out of gas. You're awesome and all that. Me, I'm very fallible. I've run out of gas at least more than once, okay? And so I'm like, okay, where's the closest gas station? Where's the closest place to get gas? I'm like, okay, the Shell station on Fry Road and 31. That's probably the fast. So we're going through Kohl's, you know, and we get out there on the Fry Road. We're second in the light, okay, waiting on the red light, and poof, poof, died. And I looked at her and she looked at me, and she pulls out her phone. I said, who are you calling? She says, I'm calling my dad. I mean, no, that's a way to hurt a guy. What's he gonna do? You know? So I said, hey, here's what we're gonna do. You know, me, man of great faith, and, you know, I'm the one that's hero, save the day. Here's what we're gonna do. You get out into the passenger seat and put it in neutral, and when that light turns green, I'm gonna push this van across that intersection to that gas station. So I get out. Remember, it's cold. I'm wearing this big leather jacket, you know, and outside the light turns green and, you know, I start going. And I just want you to know that thing started moving. It wasn't very fast, but it was moving. Okay, I'm pushing. Remember, it's cold outside. Did I tell you that part? Okay, and I'm pushing, and I start to feel my heart beat through my face. Have you ever exerted that much pressure? I'm pushing, and my legs are starting to get real tight, and we're right under the light, and I look up, and the light's turning yellow. I look to my left like this, and there's this line of cars just lined up, and it was right out of the movie Cars. It was going boom, boom, you know, like, almost like we're coming to get you, baby. I'm pushing, and at that point, I had a cell phone on my hip pocket on one of those clips. It falls and shatters on the ground. So I have to make a decision. Do I leave my phone and all those cars are going to run over that thing? Or you know, whatever. So you know what I did? I picked up the phone, you know? Those things are too expensive. So I pick up the phone, shove it, and so I'm pushing, and literally my legs start feeling like rocks. I could barely walk, and out of the corner of my eye comes this angel. He's running across the intersection. He's in his mid-30s, wearing a jean jacket, but I'm sure he was an angel. He says, hey, let me help you. I'm like, okay. And together, we push that van across the intersection into the Shell station. We pull into the Shell station, and a car pulls up right behind us, rolls down her window, and it's Mariah Pate, who is here this morning. And she says, Pastor, I just want you to know, I just saw everything that just happened. I'm like, thank you very much. That's awesome. Now, I tell you that story just to remind you, to illustrate, because afterwards I felt like God spoke to me about this. He said, there are far too many people trying to make their lives go in their own power. People, churches, trying to make things happen, but without God's help. Prayer is the fuel that makes us go. You get this? Prayer is the fuel that makes us as individuals run, and prayer is the fuel that makes a church go. Somebody say amen. Without God's help, we are going to be frustrated and powerless. Far too many of us are trying to live lives on our own. We're trying to make stuff happen, and God says, hey, I would like to help you. You need to ask me. You need to talk to me. How many know the Bible says that God is a very present help in times of trouble? So he wants us to ask. And so the problem is, when we always do it on our own strength, we get tired quickly. We get worn out physically. We get worn out mentally and even emotionally. And churches are tempted to be like this as well. We want to do everything in our own power. We want to impress people. We want to trick people. We want to do all this kind of things somehow to get them to church. And if we're not careful, even as a church, we can try to do things without God's help. At the end of the day, we won't have what God wants. Are you with me today? Prayer is the fuel of the church. God never intended for us to live our lives on our own strength. He never intended for us to live our lives on our own power. He has given us a gift called prayer, whereby we can come to him and receive help and receive strength and courage and peace and every good thing that we need. Am I in the right place today? Now listen, God wants us to be a church of prayer. God wants us to be a people who pray. The church you've always wanted is the church that prays. A church that prays for one another. A church that prays for our community, for our mayor and our leaders. A church that prays for our state and our country. A church that prays for people who need help. A church that prays for those who are worried and those who are afraid. Men that pray. Women that pray. We even believe teenagers can pray. And children can pray and seek the Lord. Now watch this. Look at what God says in his word. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. I think this verse may actually say in context of what we're talking about today. Come to me, all you are trying to push that van by yourself. I'll give you some gas and some fuel to help you on the journey called life. The church that you've always wanted is a church that believes that God is stronger than we are and God is more powerful than we are and that God is ready and willing to answer us. You see, Pastor, how can this vision be accomplished in our church? Because it's one thing just to make it a goal. It's another thing to actually do it. Let me help you out for a few moments. In order for this vision to become a reality, the first thing is we need to commit to be people of prayer. So if you don't get anything else out of this service, can I challenge you? If there's ever a time that we should be building our own prayer lives, it's right now. The world is going crazy. All kinds of things going on around the world. We need to come closer to God, draw closer to Jesus. He says, if you'll draw close to me, I'll come close to you. That's called praying, just talking to God. You don't have to use all of these flowery words or even say things perfectly. He just wants you to talk to him. So commit to be a person of prayer. A church that prays is filled with people who pray. The second thing I want to encourage you to do is join one of our prayer gatherings. We pray every Tuesday morning at 6:30, every Sunday morning now at 8:15. There was an army of people praying with us before today's service. Join us as we pray together for the church, for the community, for families, okay? Saturday morning, men pray at 6:30. And so I encourage you to do that. Another way to help us be a church that prays is by becoming a prayer guardian. One of the ministries that we have is prayer guardians. And these are people who simply say, you know what, for 1 hour a week, I'm going to pray for the church and the different requests that come into the church so that we will be a church that prays. Now, in just a few moments, we're going to ask you to fill out your prayer request on that Connect card. And you say, what's going to happen to that thing? Well, there's going to be some prayer guardians all week long who are going to be praying with you and for you for God to move in your situation. How many would like to be part of a church that when I have a need and I have a worry and I have a struggle and I'm walking through the valley, I can call on some folks to pray with me? We want to be that church. If you'd like to be part of that prayer guardian ministry on your way out today in the hub, one of the kiosks there is for prayer guardians to say, sign me up, help me. I want to find out how to do this. That's how the vision can become a reality in our church. You can submit a prayer request, and as we're going to do in just a few minutes, and in just a few minutes, we're going to pray together. We're not just going to talk about it. We're just going to do it. And you say, Pastor, it sounds pretty important. It is important because prayer can do whatever God can do. And we've got a short video testimony to encourage you on the power of prayer. Watch this.
We are Justin and Janae Daly, and we've been attending Grace for 10 years.
When we began attending Grace, we were pregnant with our first child. And in September of 2004, our faith was shaken to its core. At 24 weeks in the pregnancy, I went into premature labor with our son, Caden. Caden lived only 3 days here on earth when God decided to take him to heaven to be with him. This was by far the most devastating thing that we have ever faced. And we stood at this point of decision to give up or to stand on God's promises. This was when our eyes were opened and we saw the body of Christ. Because we had only been coming to Grace for a couple of months, and the prayers, love, and support were such that we had never seen.
However, this was only the beginning of our journey to healing and restoration. You see, it was still our desire to have children, but the doctors were telling us to have children on our own was almost impossible because of the physical issues that Janae had experienced. Receiving this news devastated us even more. So we did the only thing that we knew to do. We turned to God, lifting our petition to Him. And again, we saw the body of Christ in action. Prayer warriors like Rita Norwood and Myra Snodgrass would almost stop us every service to pray for us and to give us a simple encouragement. This became our lifeline to keep pursuing God and His promises. in January of 2007, Pastor made a call to the church for a time of prayer and fasting. We chose to participate, and we filled out our prayer cards, and we stood firm, believing that God would hear our prayers.
And in March of 2008, God breathed life into us, and He gave us our beautiful baby girl, Ava. She truly is a miracle and an answer to prayer. Our road to having children has not been an easy road, but we knew with all of our hearts that God was going to give us another child. And in October of 2012, God gave us a son, Jackson. And every time I look at his sweet little face, I'm reminded of God's faithfulness.
I can truly say that God has blessed us for staying faithful to Him. One thing that I've learned on this journey of grief and sorrow is that comfort and strength come through proclaiming and declaring the eternal truths and promises found in God's Word. Psalms 30 verse 5 says, "Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning." In the moments when we felt our lowest, God would send someone to pray for us and to encourage us. I'm so glad that we attend a church that believes in the power of prayer, because our family is a result of what prayer can do.
The church you've always wanted is the church that prays. Where will you go when the crisis comes? Where will you go when you're walking through the valley? Where will you go when nobody else can help you? I want to tell you that God wants you to come to Him. And one of the ways that you come to Him is to come and be part of a church that prays.